Christmas and the Advent period leading to it. Do you feel like this? It's a time of joy and happiness. Yee-hee, woo-hoo. Or, like many households, it's a bit more like this. It's very difficult for some people. It's stressful. It can be just so hard to balance everything together. It can be a really tricky time. Because I don't know about you. Bit of my scarf in my mouth. I don't know about you, but actually, we all carry different Christmas baggage with us. You know, we have different expectations of what Christmas should be about. We have different personalities, and that actually informs how we feel Christmas should be celebrated. We even have different metabolisms. So some people find the darkness terribly depressing, and others just think of skiing. And actually, you know, that's just Jenny and me. I don't know what the rest of you are like. So it's fair to say that it's not necessarily an easy time of the year for lots of reasons. And it can just be that for some people, they don't have enough financial resources to accomplish what they want without suffering for it in the new year. You know, people want to be generous at Christmas, but sometimes they're driven into debt. I'm not a huge fan of Christmas. I mean, quite like certain aspects of it. And I guess at times I've tended to unwittingly hijack Christmas a bit for my lovely wife and the family. But because I kind of don't see the point of all this, you know. I ask myself, that doesn't seem to be the stuff that the extraordinary birth of Jesus is about. God contracted to a span. I think it was Charles Wesley that said that. I've always been very struck by it. And then those soppy Christmas carols. Oh, please spare me from them. Thankfully, we don't sing many of like this in our church. And they seem to be hijacking my opportunity to worship God in a deep and meaningful way. But don't worry. I'm not actually John Knox, thankfully. And I don't have the power to ban Christmas like he did in Scotland. And I actually would not want to. Just because I don't like some of the aspects of it doesn't mean that I don't appreciate that everyone needs to celebrate at this time of the year, and it's a great time to do that. But what I want to do is I want to focus on the astonishing mystery of Christmas. Jenny read to us from her lovely Jewish version of the Bible. I love it because it has all the names in the original, well, as close to the original as we can get with our pronunciation. And I think that adds a little something into the reading, and hopefully you can nevertheless follow it on the wall. I'm taking it, in this case, from the NIV. Matthew 1:22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Mary gave birth to the baby. He was to be called God with us. Now, that's really astonishing. The baby born into this nasty, messy world, born in a stable, not into some nice, comfortable house, that baby was God with us. As the Spirit invades our lives, He is still God with us. He is present in the everyday, in the ordinary, and in the special. He's present in the good times. He's present when we feel alone and are suffering, when we're stressed and disturbed, when our muddled lives become too disorderly. He is still with us, no matter what. When we go through that prayer famine and we feel like God has deserted us, even then, He is actually with us. He is still there. God with us. Joshua's told to name the baby both Jesus, Yeshua, and Emmanuel. He was told Savior and God with us, because this was all about the salvation of the world and the re-establishment of a bond between God and individual people. So no matter how crazy our futures look, with COVID and Brexit coming together in some post-Christmas car crash, God is still with us. And that is something we can definitely depend upon. That may not make things that we have to deal with substantially easier, but it makes our lives and our futures full of hope. His presence gives us hope. And that's what we're thinking about in these two Sundays, hope. And that hope doesn't end there, but rather it takes us into the unknowable, eternal kingdom. It goes beyond this realm, crossing the great river of mortal death into the place where there is no weeping and where there'll be no lockdowns. We have a fabulous promise from God. For however difficult things get here in this life, we know that the promise for us is that we will live a very different life beyond the future. In Revelation 21, it tells us about a new heaven and a new earth. This is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, nor mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I'm making everything new." Then he said, "Write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true." If these verses don't make much of a difference to you, then perhaps you've not quite got a handle on what this eternal perspective really means. And perhaps that's a clue. Perhaps it's a clue that you would actually benefit from attending the Alpha course that Kath mentioned a few minutes ago that starts in January. George is running that. Such a nice man. You can be confident of being cared for by the lovely George. If this doesn't make sense, if it doesn't touch your heart, I do encourage you to join the Alpha course and get to grips with the lovely simplicity of the Christian faith, a place where you can ask any question, however outrageous you might think people think it is, any question, that's what it's for. You see, this should change the way that we think about our own lives here in our mortal bodies. I know that at times I do not hold this life lightly enough. I'm too wedded to the here and now. I do not hold the trappings of this life lightly either at times. But the hope that dwells within me is constantly changing that balance. When I look back to that past, Colin, that one of 10 or 20 years ago, maybe even in some cases just last year. I noticed that that Colin seems to have changed. He's become a slightly different Colin. And I bet if you look back in your lives, you too will see that God has been at work in changing you, changing your attitudes, changing your balance. And that, I think, is what we all hope for, isn't it? That God will continue to work in our lives day by day, week by week, year by year. He is kind. He wants to see those changes in us, but he doesn't just lump them on us. To me, it feels like there are moments where great change happens and others where he just eases me gently on and forwards. Of course, sometimes I'll take a step back. That's my falling short, my sin. But generally, he is easing me forward. Look back at yourself. See what God has been doing and praise him for it. God is at work in every one of us. I'm going to suggest to Kath that she might like to go and get the children. I'm just going to lead a moment of prayer and run through the intercessions. Hopefully, give them the 5 minutes they need to come back to us.